540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Breaking news, the fire chief in the Texas panhandle town of Perryton says one person has died and others have been hurt in a tornado. A cyber attack targets U.S. government agencies, numerous hospitals and schools. CBS's Catherine Herridge says the hackers apparently want money to stop their attack and then additional money not to make their stolen information public.
These hackers are looking for data that has a lot of personal information in it. Based on the entities we've confirmed have been targeted, a lot of them are healthcare systems, educational systems, where you have sort of your individual history, you know, where you've lived, and also a lot of your personal information, even social security numbers, date of birth, phone number, everything you would need to create that identity and then extort you.
Alleged Pentagon leaker and former Air National Guardsman Jack Texera has been indicted by a federal grand jury in Massachusetts. He's charged with six counts of willful retention and transmission of national defense information. Brazen is how police are describing the shooting of a pregnant woman in the nation's capital. CBS's Christopher Cruz.
Police say that at 11:20 this morning, two men with assault rifles got out of their car, walked to a parked car, and began shooting. A man was critically wounded but is expected to survive. The pregnant woman was also hit and died a few hours later. It's not clear if the baby survived. Assistant Police Chief Andre Wright grew up near the scene of the shooting.
This is a great city, and these are beautiful communities with compassionate people that are not about to turn over their freedoms and safety to the hands of a few violent offenders.
Police say the shooting was a targeted attack. Christopher Cruz, CBS News, Washington.
At least 15 people are killed in the Canadian province of Manitoba after a semi hit a bus carrying a group of elderly people to a casino. Rob Hill with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
To all those waiting, I can't imagine how difficult it is not knowing if the person you love the most will be making it home tonight. I'm so sorry we cannot get you the definitive answers you need more quickly.
Two companies that sell top brands of household weed killer have settled a lawsuit with the state of New York. CBS's Jim Krasula says Monsanto and its parent company, Bayer Crop Science, will pay nearly $7 million for allegedly making false and misleading claims.
They maintained Roundup products are safe and non-toxic, even though they contain a chemical that can be toxic to honeybees, butterflies, and some aquatic animals, according to the legal settlement.
Actor Al Pacino is a father for the fourth time. His rep confirms the 83-year-old actor and his 29-year-old girlfriend, Noor Al-Fallah, have welcomed baby Roman. This is CBS News.
Need hires who dazzle without the hassle? You need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently make which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Site at 30bales.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Henry Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and I saw a nice shirt, Robert, by the way. Hey, ho.
And yeah, thanks. I thought I'd wear it since it's Pride Month.
That's right. Every month's Pride Month. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
hey,
here.
That's nice. Nice shirt. Hey, what a day. I know you and I have talked. We were at the Four Sisters Market, which was very successful. A lot of people, and it's crazy, Robert. I see different people show up different times, and that's very cool.
Yeah, very cool. It's a great crowd today. Some of the folks, the early folks that you see there, are waiting in line for Bob Rice at Powwow Grounds to bring his fresh fry bread in.
Yeah.
They know exactly when it's going to come in, so they're all standing around waiting in line. And then today we had just such a good day with a food demonstration. There was a great crowd for that. A young Native chef, Derek Nicholas, who works for Division of Indian Works here in the city of Minneapolis, does a food demo so people can learn how to cook with the produce that we're selling in the market that the vendors are selling. And then he has lots of cultural teachings and stuff. It's really cool to see this young man. Come on, he's done demonstrations there last year as well, but this year he really has it tight, and his delivery's great, and his cultural teachings are great. And then there's a lot of media around.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to talking about ICWA, but there was news media coming to get a reaction from people in the community on the ICWA ruling. And we had a Hennepin County, that's the county we're in, a film crew that was down there that's doing a piece on our Four Sisters Farmers Market, Four Sisters Farm. It was just a happening place.
Yeah, I love it. And I just love stopping in there for a couple hours and hanging out. And it was interesting. I don't know, Robert. I know you were there listening to the I want to look this up. But do you remember what he talked about, the water and talking to the water?
Yeah, that was really interesting. And I'm going to do some follow up, too, Robert. It was this young man. We're talking about water and the importance of water, of course, and water is life. But then the young chef, Derek, talked about some Japanese researcher that did some kind of research where he'd take some water and speak positively and reverently and lovingly to it. And then he'd take some water and speak harshly and hatefully to it, and then freeze them. And they had very different properties. Yeah. The water that was loved was crystal and beautiful, and the water that was hated wasn't.
Yeah. And I've heard that, and Wendy will be talking later today about how our animals and our relatives, like our dogs, can sense good and bad people, and that's almost in the same line, you know, the water.
In that line. Right, right. And then, you know, the young chef, Derek, was pointing out that our bodies are mostly water, right?
Yep.
And so kind of what we say to ourselves, what we say to our bodies, the impacts that might have. And that was really interesting.
And he said 70% of the earth is water, too. And he said 70% of us is water, and it's all connected. And I was just like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that was beautiful. And, yeah, I was sitting next to a community elder, Linda Eagle, speaker here. And it's just, you know, I bet she thinks that's pretty cool to hear someone as young as the chef telling these lessons. Yeah, that was really meaningful. And the food was delicious. I don't know if you got a chance to taste it.
Well, I went up and tried, what is it? The top of, darn it, what plant is that for butterflies? Help me.
Milkweed.
He was handing out samples of that. And I asked him because I remember when my family was poor and they would talk about this, is that they'd go by the freeway and pick milkweed so we could make soup. And, and you know, you can put soup, anything into soup. So that's what, but it was just like, milkweed. Wow.
Yeah. We did a fair amount of foraging when I was a kid, but not that. We didn't do milkweed.
Well, hey, let's jump into today's celebration because this is, you know, I was interviewed by WCCO about ICWA, and it was interesting the question they asked me, and I think they asked the next person too, and it was about, does this affect anybody that you know? And my answer was, it affects the next seven generations. You know, that's what we're really, and so it was really interesting because, again, you know, our white allies maybe don't know exactly what, and that's why we talk about it here a lot on this progressive radio station all across Turtle Island, is it's affecting us and our sovereignty. And but what an exciting day.
It's a huge day, just huge. And I was in a meeting, I mean, it might have been a Zoom meeting even, when the news flashed across, you know, the ruling came out. And I just like interrupted the meeting and everything. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, ICWA holds, or, you know.
Yeah.
I was just amazed. And just, you saw it on social media, certainly at the market, just a real sense of celebration. And you know, you were interviewed at the market today by one of our local TV stations, as you said, WCCO TV. It's a CBS affiliate here, the most watched station in the state or something like that. So it's a big deal. But I will tell you this, Robert, you know, they reached out to our organization, NACD, Native American Community Development Institute. You know, we get a lot of media kind of, you know, we're kind of high profile, right? So media will reach out to us, and then we'll kind of direct them to others. But they really wanted to come down to the market and get the response from people in the community. And we just made it really clear to them, you know, these can be triggering issues. These have impacted our families, you know, and that you can't just run up and shove a microphone in someone's face and start asking them questions. And they were very respectful.
Yeah.
And they came and they kind of stood aside, and then we helped, you know, recruit people for them to talk to. And I was pretty impressed with the way that they behaved.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And it's a union shop, and I always appreciate that. WCCO has always been a union shop, and I've had friends over the years work there. And as you might, your father worked for CBS, or not CBS, but WCCO when it was owned by a local, and the radio
but
and
but the it was TV. Still the, yeah, and it was the CBS affiliate then.
Yeah.
A good union shop. I grew up in a good union household.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
But the whole ICWA ruling, and just, you know, I've just been finally reading. I had kind of a busy day, and so just been kind of reading about the ruling and the majority and minority positions and the arguments and things. And I have a hunch that this is going to be a stepping off point for a much broader conversation about sovereignty and tribal rights than I feel like we've had in a while.
Well, it's a reaffirmation, and I think that's what's really exciting for me to hear. I think the news that was just on before our show, it was a number one news part, but it was also a matter-of-factly put out there that this was not, this almost like this is what should be the way, and I appreciate that because it's not sensationalized if they're you know, following the treaties and the laws that they've made.
Right. There's a different ruling could have undone centuries of Indian law, right? And, you know, policies, the ones that actually protect us to a degree. So this was a huge, huge ruling.
We'll talk a little bit about that, a little more about that. And it was a 7-2 vote. And we'll talk a little bit more and then get talking about the avenue and what you're doing. And just a day of celebration. And it's great to have you on, Robert Lilligren. All right, we'll be right back after this short message. Please, this is Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
On Saturday, June 17th, Metro Transit is making changes to transit service within your community. As they do each quarter, they review and analyze their resources and ridership trends. These service adjustments to routes continue Metro Transit's ongoing work to best serve customers throughout their system with their given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org. That's metrotransit.org.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
When it comes to houses, disassembly is our game, deconstruction is our fame. There are some bucks for your project. Better Futures Minnesota is your contact.
Instead of demolishing your home, let us take it apart by hand, and we can find the building materials a new home. Limited funds are allotted in 2023 for Hennepin County residents and public entities to make deconstruction even more affordable. Check out BetterFuturesMinnesota.com. That's BetterFuturesMinnesota.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
We just so happen to have the president and CEO of the Native American Community Development Institute on today, and we're talking a little ICWA and a little for grandmother's you know, flea market and thing, and I'm just really overwhelmed, Robert. I'm stumbly mumbly right now. It's
what'd you say? grandmother's market, Digga? Four sisters?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
I was kind of wondering where you're going there, Robert, but a lot of people were really moved today, moved to tears.
Yeah,
when the ICWA ruling came down. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And definitely. What an example of our communities and our nations coming together, organizing, you know, the activism, the advocacy, the outreach, the letters. I can't remember, I read how many tribes. It was pretty much all of them, you know, submitted friend of the court letters. I mean, it was amazing. It was an amazing mobilization.
You know, and Robert, I just got to say this too. I was worried, and especially after the last Supreme Court decisions that have been happening this last year and a half, I was really, really worried. And that's why I'm so happy today.
Right. And even during the arguments, I mean, the vote was so lopsided. It's so encouraging, you know, 7-2 in our favor. And when arguments, oral arguments were made, what, last November, I think it was, many of the justices seemed very skeptical. Those who ended up voting in our favor, Kavanaugh being one of them, was very, seemed very skeptical. It almost, it seemed like for sure he was going to vote the other way. And then that Justice Amy Coney Barrett wrote the majority position.
Yeah.
She voted on the right side and then wrote the majority position. For me, and maybe this is my own limitations, but that was kind of surprising.
Well, I read that and I almost cried. It's almost beautiful. It's almost, that's what should be read instead of a land acknowledgement. That was pretty crazy how that beautifully that was written.
Good point. That's a really good point. And that it just affirms Native sovereignty, right? And a different outcome would have destroyed it, or at least been the first kind of pin, or another pin that falls before others do. So yeah, good day.
Yeah, they must have did their reading because I was out there too, and I wasn't inside the court, but they had the live audio outside the Supreme Court, and it seemed to me that a lot of the judges did not know the law. So they possibly read up on this and voted it in a correct way, because I was feeling pretty kind of low when I heard their questions.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. And it's been discussed before how little many judges, including Supreme Court justices, know about Indian law. And so this, I think you're exactly right. This is a step forward with the Supreme Court, and I would say by association all lower courts, in the understanding of Indian law and Native sovereignty. And that's, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, it'll keep benefiting us for a while.
It was interesting for me in what was reported, so I'm not making this up, that a lot of the oil companies were backing this up with their lawyers and paying for the lawyers to go to the Supreme Court. So when we're getting attacked on sovereignty, you know, water is life and all those things where there's pipelines going through your backyard and just disrespect for the Mother Earth, that was really concerning to hear that.
Right. So what you're saying is they were paying for the plaintiffs, right? They were supporting the case?
Right.
Yeah. So they were trying to attack sovereignty, right? No, for sure. And then what's the attitude, or what's the word, the kind of cavalier attitude toward the opposition on what it means to be Native, you know? And like, of course, the underpinnings of the plaintiff's argument was that this was a race-based decision. And so the decision handed down today acknowledges this isn't about race. This is about political status and identity.
And that's something I'd like you to explain just a little bit better to our audience, because that gets lost a lot of in a lot of not only arguments, but just knowledge out there, the difference between those two and how important it is that we are who we are.
Right. Well, it is fundamental, right, to who we are. And I'm probably not the best person to explain the nuances here. But I remember, as I was on my journey, you know, I would have elders or other Native people, activists, you know, kind of come down hard if you talked about Native people in a racial framework. Mm-hmm. And they would say, this isn't race. We are a sovereign people. This is a political identity, right, not a racial one. And I guess in my youth, I didn't quite get why that was so important or nuanced. Now I understand it better, I think. And
right.
And we have a special status, right? We have a special right. status here as the victims of colonization, as the victims of land theft, culture theft, language theft, forced assimilation. We are sovereign people. It's
right.
not just an issue of race. And you could see that coming through. Justices were understanding that. You could see yeah. that in what they said in their what they've said since the ruling was handed down.
Well, that's exciting too. And it's a respect for as if we were France or any other sovereign nation across the world. And that's the key, you know. It's not right. you're a French race or right. whatever.
Right. Right. One of the arguments made for the plaintiffs was that, you know, there are issues of Native children being adopted out of the Native cultures. And, you know, and the sentence was something like, even if they've never stepped foot on reservation land, as if somehow that mattered. That was the point, you know. And, you know, if I had never stepped foot on white earth, you know, can I still be considered a sovereign white earth citizen, kind of, is what they're asking. Jeez. Well, of course I can.
Well, especially that this land was all ours before colonization. That's just like, exact, what?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, this is a huge day, and I'm guessing we'll see reverberations and repercussions, positive ones, through the judicial system based on this today and through our culture. You know, the president's weighed in, breathing a sigh of relief. So,
yeah. Well, and what's interesting too is with, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but the Minnesota law to preserve ICWA, I know it isn't got ICWA in there, but I wanted to call it MICWA, but it's not MICWA. It's called something else. That Arnold, or what's his name, who was with ICWA, who's was part of the suing of ICWA and was in the documentary Blood Memory. He's like, was all like mad about the way the Minnesota law went. So, hey,
we got. So this is a Native lawyer, right, that you're talking about.
Right.
He was anti-ICWA. So
Leonard, or what was his name?
Hold on, I'm trying to find it right now really quickly. Let's see if I'm evil. But
Mark Leonard or something like that.
Yeah. So. But, I mean, to your point, the big deal thing was that our state legislature here in Minneapolis, or in Minnesota, rather, in St. Paul, actually, but in Minnesota, passed statutory protections reinforcing the ICWA protections in expectation that ICWA would be overturned.
Yeah.
So it's just an example of how, first off, representation matters, right? We have enough
white
people in our legislature and in our state house to do that, but also how great it is to live in Minnesota politically right now with our Democratic trifecta at the state capitol. They were able to do that. So had ICWA been overturned, Minnesotans would have still enjoyed the protections.
Well, I was MC of the Wisconsin Democratic Convention this last weekend.
Oh, yeah. How did that go?
Well, I pronounced every name right. You'll be proud of me.
Wow,
and there were some Polish names in there that were a little tricky. And but Minnesota was talked about a lot, I guess is my point. And Amy Klobuchar was the speaker, the guest surprise speaker at the end. But, you know, there's talk about how great things are happening here. So all across, you know, not only Obama mentioning this a little while ago, a few days ago, but everybody that's a Democrat is seeing the great things that are happening here in Minnesota.
Right. And to their credit, the legislature, Governor Waltz, our Native Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan are getting some good bounce nationally. People can see, you know, this is what happens when you have unified Democratic government. And And, you know, Minnesota, you know, sort of a swing state, but really, I think we're going to play a prominent place in the narrative in the 2024 elections, because I think people are getting very tired of what's happening in D.C. And I think a lot of voters are going to say, oh, whoa, we could be like Minnesota. We could, yeah, you know, we could pass good laws if we elected the right people.
And we can be like Minnesota natives and vote and make voting a tradition.
Yeah, that one of our signature projects at NACD, make voting a tradition.
Right on. Hey, Robert, thanks for had the great discussion today at the Four Sisters Market and a great show tonight, as always. Thank you so much for being on. No,
thanks for having me. Nice to see you, Haley. Nice to see you, Robert. Giggle.
Right on.
Good to see you, Pinigigi.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Neighborhoods.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. At 12:15, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Hail falls on Sabrina Devers' property in Perryton, Texas, where the fire chief says at least one person is dead and dozens hurt after a tornado ripped through the Texas panhandle town. Governor Greg Abbott is sending state emergency response resources to the area. A cyber attack hits the U.S. Anne Neuberger is with the National Security Council.
This criminal group has started to put the data that they extorted out on the dark web because they're trying to get companies to pay for it.
In Canada, at least 15 people are killed in Manitoba after Rob Hill with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police says a semi hit a bus that was carrying elderly people to a casino.
Please know that the RCMP have sent every available resource to the scene and are working very closely with the medical examiner's office. We will continue to work nonstop so that you have the information about your loved ones.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
It's time you checked out Champions Pub on Milwaukee's East Side, a classic Milwaukee tavern since 1956. Champions is a comfortable place to gather and enjoy a drink over a game of shuffleboard, cribbage, bags, golden tea, or just relax in its sunny beer garden or covered deck. Champions Pub has something for everyone. It's a great place to escape the usual bar crowds and hide out for drinks and conversation. Stop by Champions Pub and enjoy its good service and low-key neighborhood atmosphere. This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Don McCrute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003. 125 games. 292 tackles. 7 sacks. And a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats. And there's more to life than football. You're about to find out.
Eden Hopkins at the corner of Main Street and 11th Avenue with plenty of free parking.
Visit their website at 30bales.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, we're doing two segments here with Wendy, my awesome and beautiful wife. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she discusses our native, sacred native animals here all across Turtle Island. And welcome, Wendy, as always.
Yes, thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. Today, I want to talk to you about something I've been seeing a lot on the internet and on Facebook. So there's an ingredient. It's a sweetener, and it's out there. It's called xylitol. It's spelled X-Y-L-I-T-O-L, and it's very dangerous if your dog gets into it. It can cause liver damage and death. But here's the thing. It's very commonly found in some peanut butters, and I know a lot of people like to give their dogs peanut butter, so check that label and make sure it does not have any xylitol. It's also found in chewing gum. A lot of chewing gum have this ingredient, and also ice cream. The other thing that we found out is that Benadryl gel caps. Now, wow. A lot of people give Benadryl to their dogs to like calm them down, or if they get a bee sting, right? Or they have itchy skin. So dogs do take Benadryl, but the gel caps have xylitol in them, right? And that also can be really dangerous, but the regular pink tablets of the Benadryl are very safe. You can give that, no problem. So this ingredient, xylitol, is a sweetener that it's found in a wide variety of products, but here's this tricky thing. It goes by other names that sound like natural ingredients, including wood sugar. So if you see wood sugar, birch sugar, and birch bark extract. Birch bark extract. So if you see those other names, it's also xylitol. I think that is so tricky because it gives the product, to me, my personal opinion, like a more organic, safe type of a less chemical name, right? So xylitol, it also goes by wood sugar, and birch bark extract. So keep an eye out for that. Do not give any of the ingredients, any foods or ice cream or peanut butters or anything else that have those ingredients in it. So since I'm really talking about this, I know we've talked about this before, but I think it's important to know. And since we're on the subject of not trying to poison your dog, let's talk about other foods that you should not give your dog. So onions and garlic. You should not give your dogs onions or garlic.
Or your wife. No garlic.
Yeah, right? Because of the breath, right? Or you could have some in self-defense, right? You could have some. Yeah. So onions and garlic in something in a very small ingredient, if you're just using it very small in an ingredient, it is safe. But ingestion of large quantities can result in damage to red blood cells as well as gastrointestinal distress. So signs of ingestion include panting, loose stools, high heart rate, and blood in the urine. So store onions and garlic out of the reach of the pets, out of reach of your dog to prevent this toxic dose. Houseplants. We have to really be careful with houseplants, especially with our dogs and cats, too. So there are nearly 400 common household plants that are poisonous when chewed by dogs. I know one for cats is lilies. You should never have lilies around. They say even smelling the pollen from a lily can be really dangerous for your cat.
Daisies, lantana, and periwinkle are among those that can cause vomiting, liver failure, and death. So be really careful about that. And you could look up a whole list. You could just Google that and look at houseplants that are dangerous for your dogs and cats. So you want to be careful. Chocolate. That's another one, right? Chocolate's a bad one. The most this is the most common source of poisoning among dogs. Chocolate can be dangerous in low quantities depending on the level of the stimulant methoxsalamine. So you want to be careful with that. Baking chocolate and cocoa containing the highest levels, followed by dark milk and white chocolate. So yeah, I just want to see, I wasn't pronouncing that right. Methylxylene.
Close enough. Yeah.
So just be careful of that. Yeah. So ingestion can lead to pancreatitis in dogs, a condition which can lead to the pancreas becoming inflamed and leads to such symptoms as diarrhea, panting, seizures, excessive thirst, and urination. Caffeine, that's a really bad one. Like chocolate, caffeine also has the same ingredient. So coffee, tea, soda, all contain that. So we want to be really careful of that. Grapes and raisins. I see sometimes people giving their dogs grapes. Grapes and their dehydrated form, raisins, can lead to renal, which is kidney failure, if consumed by dogs. So we want you to be really careful and do not give your dogs any grapes or raisins. Dairy products. Dogs are lactose intolerant.
Wow.
Yeah. So meaning they do not process the enzymes necessary to break down the sugar in dairy products known as lactose. This undigested sugar can cause digestion issues, including diarrhea. So it is as advised to avoid feeding milk, cheese, or ice cream to your dog. So you want to be careful about that. So this is kind of funny. They mention macadamia nuts. A common ingredient in sweets such as cookies. Macadamia nuts are highly poisonous to dogs, resulting in weakness, hyperthermia, and vomiting when ingested. So no macadamia nuts. You know what? I have an allergic reaction to macadamia nuts. When I eat them, I get like a rash and itchiness in my mouth and tongue.
Ew.
Yeah. Chicken bones. Both raw and cooked chicken bones are not easily digested and can cause blockages or punctures in the digestive tracts of dogs. In addition to these obvious dangers, raw bones and meat carry harmful bacteria such as Salmonella and E. coli, which can cause dogs to fall ill. So don't give your dog any chicken bones, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Avocados. I was just going to have an avocado. Yeah. So avocado pits contain a naturally occurring fungicide called persin, which is mildly toxic to some breeds. This substance can enter the flesh or the skin of the fruit, and is its consumption by dogs can result in diarrhea, vomiting if consumed in large quantities. So be careful of that. Wow. Peach and plum pits also.
Any kind of pit seems like it has arsenic in it, or what is it called?
Really careful with pits. Peach and plum pits. They're also very, they contain deadly poison called cyanide. We all heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's,
Breaking Bad.
Number 11 is the xylitol, which we just mentioned, right? So you want to be careful of the xylitol products. Raw eggs. This is funny because I see a lot of people putting raw eggs and giving raw eggs to their dogs. But it says here that the harmful bacteria Salmonella in raw eggs, it's not advised for consumption by dogs. So we don't really want to do that also. There's also an enzyme called avidin that interferes with vitamin B metabolism from the egg, which can lead to a problematic skin and hair conditions, among others.
Yeah.
So don't give your dog Also raw fish. No raw fish. Mm-hmm. So let's stay away from the raw stuff. Cooked fish, however, they say is a good source of protein. But several species of fish are inhabited by parasites that can cause fatal conditions in dogs.
Wow.
So, I mean, I know like a lot of people, like with sushi, you know, raw fish, like if you're pregnant, you're not supposed to have any of that because of the parasites.
And the iron maybe too, or no, pretty much
in parasites. The fish. Yeah, the parasites in the fish, the uncooked fish. Well, I don't eat fish, whether it's cooked or not.
Wow.
And then human medication. You want to be really careful not to let your dog have any known medication or pills that is not prescribed for them. I know one of the most dangerous drugs for a dog over the counter, which we take all the time, is very commonly ibuprofen, which is Motrin or Advil. Mm-hmm. So that one is really, really, you know, dangerous to the dogs. Also, we want to really, really be careful of household cleaners. And that goes without saying. It's harmful to humans and to dogs. So we want to keep all those household cleaners away. We always hear every year, too, dogs drinking antifreeze, right?
Yeah, because it's sweet tasting or something.
Yeah, I don't know. So they really do that. So we just want to be careful, keep in mind what we're giving our little furry friends here, dogs and cats, and be careful of the house plants and the foods.
Yeah, that antifreeze, bring that up again, because people leave that sometimes in their garage and the dog gets in the garage.
Yeah, they'll spill a little while they're putting it in their the radiator, and then it's
the what?
The radiator, and then it spills on the ground, and then the dog licks it up. That one's a very common one. We hear about dogs going into the hospital and having their stomach pumped and having, you know, really bad time with antifreeze. So, yep, keep your pets free. That's it. Wanda, no grapes for you.
Right on. Hey, up next, Wendy Pilot. Again, we're going to talk some more animal segments here. We're excited. We'll be right back after this short message. Stay.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Your Blue Line Extension Project wants to hear from you. We are working on extending the Blue Line Light Rail into North Minneapolis, Robbinsdale, Crystal, and Brooklyn Park, and connecting it to our growing transit system. Tell us about your neighborhood, your business, your family, and what you need from your Blue Line. Learn more and share more of your story at yourblueline.org. That's yourblueline.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
When it comes to mental health, making connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Connections can bring comfort, hope, and joy. Find ways that work for yourself and others, like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, creating space to listen. Visit cmentalhealth.org. That's cmentalhealth.org. cmentalhealth.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey,
welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
There's that wolf. Hey, welcome back, Wendy. Thank you so much for doing a couple segments here. I really appreciate it. And I know our listening audience appreciates it too, because you bring us information that I've never heard anywhere else, really.
Yeah. Well, in the last segment, I was talking about poisonous foods and plants for dogs. And the one word I just wanted to talk to you about that I was mispronouncing was methylxanthines.
What?
Methylxanthines. Okay. And these are a common source of poison that if you give to your dogs, they could die. So it is in chocolate, mostly baking chocolate. Cocoa and cocoa have the highest levels of methylxanthines. Also caffeinated coffee, caffeinated tea, or even caffeinated sodas. So you want to stay away from all that, from giving that to your dog, because that ingredient in that those things could be dangerous.
It's crazy. When we were kids, we fed our dogs everything. Right.
And they all lived, right? I know.
Lived longer.
I know. When I was a kid, like, we never took our dogs to the vet or our cat to the vet. We got a cat. We were lucky even if we got it spay or neutered, right? And it never went to the vet. And they lived forever. I remember I had a cat, a gray
Snoopy.
I had a cat named Snoopy. Isn't that funny?
Boy.
But anyway, we had a cat named Snoopy, and we got this cat. He like showed up at our house one day. And that was it. I think we got him neutered. We might not have. I mean, I was a little kid. This was like in the late 60s.
Nobody got their cats neutered back then.
I don't think we did. No one did. And he was an outdoor cat. You know, he went in and out of the house. And he lived till he was a ripe old, I don't know, he was like 20 years old, the cat.
Wow.
You know what I mean? It was crazy. So it's different now. You know, we have a overpopulation of cats and dogs, and we need to do that. It's really important, like Bob Barker would always say.
Paul Barker's still alive, by the way, and he's Native American. Did you know that?
I know. We were watching that The Price is Right, like a documentary, right?
Let's not get into that hole, but that was an awesome documentary. I just got to say that.
Well, speaking of documentaries, it was not a documentary, but what I watched not too long ago on Netflix, it was a made up movie about Ted Bundy, the serial killer.
Was he vegan? No, I'm just kidding.
Very funny. So it's called Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile. And it's on Netflix. And it was really about. It was, of course, about Ted Bundy and what he did. But really what it was about Liz, the single mom who fell in love with him and was his girlfriend for years and years and years. And that their story, like, and how she never wanted to believe any of these stories, you know, when he was, you know, found out about doing all these horrible murders. She just didn't want to believe it. But what happened was they lived together. I'm not sure whether they got married or not, but anyway, they lived together and she wanted to get a dog and they went down to the pound. They went to the pound and they were looking at this one dog that she really wanted. And they bent down to look at the dog. And I don't know if this is in real true life or they just made it for the movie, but the dog started really growling and went down on the ground when Ted Bundy was looking at the dog.
Well, they say that the victims that survived it, that his eyes were black and evil.
Yeah, it's really something.
I have
this article here. It's from the Animal Rescue Site. By Greater Good News, and science confirms that dogs can recognize a bad person. And I think we've talked about this before in the show. Sometimes we get a sense about somebody, right, that we feel that they might be bad news. That doesn't mean we're right. But oddly enough, the same isn't true for dogs. When they sense that a person may be somebody to avoid, science says that their instincts are spot on.
Wow.
Right? We all know that dogs have an incredible sense of smell. That's why they're sometimes used as they sniff out drugs or bombs or to protect our first responders. But a dog can actually recognize factors that make up a person's personality. According to a study published in the Journal of Neuroscience and Biobehavioral Reviews, specifically, they can sense when a person is being mean to another person.
Whoa.
Yeah. To find out if dogs can sense meanness, the scientists looked at a typical reactions dogs have to different events. Quote, dogs are known to Dogs are known to consistently follow human pointing gestures. Hmm. In this study, we asked whether dogs automatically do this or whether they flexibly adjust their behavior depending upon the reliability of the pointer demonstrated in an immediate preceding event. So I'm going to explain what that all means because that's really confusing, right?
Right.
In the study, the dogs went through a variety of different scenarios. In one of them, a volunteer was helping another person open a jar that was tightly sealed while the dog was present. In another variation, the volunteer was passive. In yet another variation, the volunteer refused to help at all. After the dog observed the behavior, the volunteer would try to give the dog a treat. The volunteer who helped open the jar and the passive volunteer were equally as likely to be successful in giving the dog a treat. However, if the volunteer was nice, the dog was much more likely to take the treat from their hand. But when the volunteer who didn't offer the help to open the jar tried to offer the dog a treat, the dog ignored them. The dog didn't trust the person who was mean. Right? So the dog took the treat from the people, you know, two other nice people and the person who was helping them, but the person who didn't want to help the person open the jar, he didn't want to.
Yeah, we've always talked about that, but this is like proof. I mean, I think we joked about it.
Exactly. This shows incredible perception. The dog could get the treat free and clear, but he refused because he sensed that that person was not nice. Mm. It really says a lot about their ability to judge someone in just one interaction.
Wow.
Yeah. So we have to take notice when we're around our dog, if the dog seems really judgmental about a person that we don't really know, that we really should steer clear of that person.
Well, and I just have to say this, certain dogs, excuse me, because as you know, Wanda's my dog when you're in New York or not in the house, but when you're up sleeping, she's protecting you and barks at me.
I know that. It's really funny. And you know what, Robert? We've had a lot of people here in the radio studio in our house.
Right.
And Wanda has sat on everybody's lap.
Yeah, everyone.
Right? Yeah. And everybody's able to pet her and to her. And most people, and it's funny too, even when I'm walking with her in the neighborhood, most of the time she doesn't even ignores people when we walk by them, unless they have a dog with them, then she'll bark. But generally when we're just walking and we're passing people, she just passes by them without anything. But sometimes she'll growl and bark. It's like, why is she growling and barking at that one person that we were passing by, right? So keep an eye on your dogs.
We had a Chihuahua that didn't like children. Do you remember that?
Chihuahuas don't like a lot of people.
Hey, thanks, Wendy, for doing two segments here.
Yeah.
Always really appreciative. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Please.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
Right on. Well, we'll be back tomorrow with State Senator Mary Kunish and Wendy. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I just like saying that.
Go ahead,
Wendy. You're going to say something. No?
No, I was going to say Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.